we get started.
Just good news that I'm sales ready.
Yeah, great.
Finally, took much longer time than I expected, but I am finally. Should I talk to Rafael about it?
Sure. Yeah, you're welcome to. Define your niche for me.
It's facility services businesses, mid-size facility services.
And you're starting in the city?
But actually it doesn't matter anywhere.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But if they're in your backyard, because you're in New York City, like that's pretty good. You can get a lot. Or are you Hoboken or are you in New York City?
Well, I'm in New York. I'm in Brooklyn, New York. I
Okay.
already have one client here in New York City, trying to find more.
Got it. Would it be competitive for you to take on another client in the city or no?
No, I wouldn't do that. That's why I would go somewhere far from New York to get some competitors.
Got it. Makes sense. Jesse, did you have a second camera? Is that what that was? Is it like a laptop?
Yeah, I have a
Okay.
really crappy Mac laptop camera. So then I
Okay.
have this one on top of it that makes my face huge and then is weirdly zoomed out. But here we are. It works.
Okay, makes sense. I get it. I get it. All right, well, welcome in. Hey, Karen, good to see you.
I think I'm that close to selling a half day consult. Just got off a
Tell me
call.
about it. Tell me about it.
That's good. It's with Life Seasons. The guy, so I actually met the CMO because I did a reference for a guy who worked for me at Chatbooks. And so I did a reference call with the CMO and we really liked each other. So we ended up staying on the phone for like an hour. And then they did hire the guy, Tanner, who worked for me. And so I just connected with Tanner and he is like a one-man show and just needs strategy help. So he's more of a growth
Great.
performance marketer and he just needs strategy help and
Great.
documentation. And so I'm like, I don't know exactly whether they need an official half day consult. It's probably the way I can get to the strategy the best for them. So he pretty much is like, I've got the budget to do it. And then it was just a matter of I didn't know how much to charge. So
Okay, and what did
I
you
probably
pitch?
lowballed. What's that?
What'd you pitch?
Five for a half day consult.
It's a great place to be.
It's a starting point. I just figured because I know he wants to roll it into something more. So I felt like if I started with five, then we can reassess in 30 days.
Kinda, not really. It's my take. So I just wanted to like share
Yeah, please.
raising your price after you've done the work, it's like it's harder to do. And I always like doing just the psychology of like, here's my half day consult price. It's 7,500. And at the end of the half-day consult, I'll share some ways that maybe I can help you continue to work together. And I bet I could probably do it for cheaper than what this half-day consult was. Like, I want to walk it down. It feels like a relief. You know what I mean? And then I can go pitch them at 5 grand a month thereafter, and it feels good. But I always want your first month to be paid in cash at like kind of an uncomfortably high rate is kind of the best place for you for positioning. Yeah, but it's great. I mean, your first one is your first one, and you have to go through everything. Like you have to invent the whole universe before you can sell your first one, and then your second one is a lot easier. So, great job getting this far. I really encourage you to use the agreement that we have inside of the accelerator for the half day consult. And I just want to clarify something because sometimes folks have gotten this wrong. The point of the half day consult prep is to figure out the biggest problems that they have. And the point of the half-day consult session is to solve those problems. So I don't come to that session with problem solved. Maybe I have an idea or two because someone says some stuff and I'm like, that's a bad idea. We should do it a different way. But I don't go to propose anything. So I'm there just like digging in, asking questions. Like I'm the inspector. I'm just checking stuff out, challenging people. What about the budget? You say you want to grow, but you don't have the budget. How are you going to do that? Where can we cut costs? Where can we add revenue? That's the goal of the half day consult. So to me, if you do the half day consult right, you kind of know what you're going to solve when you show up, and then you just have a good time, and you stay focused, and you solve like three problems for them, and they're thrilled. And then at the end, you say, "Let me formalize this into a document so that you guys kind of know everything that we talked about. Give me till like Monday or Tuesday. I'll get that to you. And would you mind if I added on there like, because of what we talked about, there are like these three things. I think that." it would be really helpful if I was like kind of advising that over the course of like the next 6 months or so. Do you mind if I like write something in as an option for that? And I think I could probably do it cheaper than I did it for the haptic console. And they're like, hell yeah, that sounds great. And that's your open
Awesome.
door. And then you meet with them to deliver that final proposal because you are proposing new work. So it's like you'll then meet on Monday or Tuesday and you'll say, great, here's all the stuff we talked about. Here's it clarified. Here's next steps. And then also, I think I should be the person who like hires this person, rebuilds this, does this thing. And my fee for that is 5,000 a month.
Right.
And as I share that with you, just like, how does that land? Does that feel like something you want to do? Is it a right now and not now? Where do you land? And they're like, no, I think that sounds awesome. Let me go talk to the team, or that's not in the budget, or whatever. Does that
Awesome.
arc make sense?
Yeah, completely. That's super helpful.
Great.
Thank
Very
you.
conversational, very low risk, low
Right.
stress. I love a half day consult because I get to show up with caffeine, and like I block the day off and I'm just gonna go hang out for 4 hours and I'm gonna take the rest of the day off. And it's just fun. Like
Do you
that's how it needs to be.
always start from half-day consult, or you can go ahead with the engagement kind of?
Yeah, you can go ahead with the engagement. What I've found, and I think what others have found too, is that 30 days paid with an out for the client. So it's like your first 30 days of a 3 month engagement of engaged. But you just do like, how about this, Shafkat? I'll just like write this out for us. Like, we'll go work together for 30 days. The intention is if we're happy working together, we're going to work together for probably a couple years, right? But let's just do 30 days. I'm going to get in. I'm going to look under the covers. I'm going to like lift up the carpet. I'm going to see what you guys have been hiding. And I'm going to interview the team and I'm going to do all the stuff over the next 30 days. And then I'll give you a full report on that. And that will devise our strategy for the rest of the year. And then at that point, we can have an honest conversation if we want to continue or not. How does that sound? I find that that works really well. It's 30 days. I get to show my value. I get to see if I like them. And then I get to propose ongoing work together. My close rate on that shelf cut is like really, really high. I'd have to calculate it, but it's like near 100%. And I would rather someone sign with me for 30 days and then I got to prove to them that I'm the right person than to be just stuck in this forever time period. Like April, one of our members, she just shared in Boardroom that's taken her 5 months to push a deal across the line, but it's a bigger commitment. Could she have pushed a 30-day commitment across the line faster? I don't know, but I would rather do a 30-day commitment across the line faster.
So if that doesn't work, 30 days consult, then you would switch to half day consult as a backup option.
Yeah, but the price difference isn't massive. What would you do for a half-day consult? What would be your price?
Same, like 5,000,
And what would you do for an engaged?
10.
Okay. So really it's kind of about that. Like if they're really price conscious and 5 grand's all they can afford a month, then you're probably going to be able to do, they can probably afford a half-day consult with advisor services after. They couldn't take engaged services. So sometimes we'd sell clients, well, we always have to sell them what they need, but sometimes they can't afford it. So then we have to give them like the lighter option. The difference of you doing 10 hours a week versus 4 or 5 hours a month is massive. You'll get a lot more done if you were engaged. But if they don't have the money for it and they still want to work with you, then you can sell them advisor.
Yeah, so you start offering the 30 days for 10K, for example. If they say it's kind of too much, you say, okay, let's go half day consult, and then we'll see.
Kind of, I'm more prescriptive than that. The experience I want is I remember I used to work at a restaurant in Northern Michigan and it was like the nicest restaurant in town, one of the two nice ones. And we had this, I was a bartender, I was like a nobody, but we had this one guy who was, people would come in and they'd sit at his table. They'd be like, I want to be in his section. And he'd be like, hey, welcome, Shafkat. Can I tell you what you're having for dinner? And they were like, yes, please. And he would choose everything. And there was a feeling to that. He would choose the wine for you. He'd pair it with the specials that we had. It was just like he was going to surprise you. The bill was going to be the bill. You were going to pay it. I like creating that experience. So I'm only going to propose the thing that I want to give them because it's the right thing for them. I'm not going to say, here's 50 things that you can have for me. I'm going to say, here's the one I'm proposing to you. That's it. And I'm going to propose the thing that's best for them based on where they want to go and what kind of money they have. And if they say that's too much money, then I can maybe play the game a bit. But ultimately, like, if they've identified the problem and the commitment to get that problem solved, and they've told me about their budget and capacity, I'm going to propose something that I think is going to be palpable for them. You know, like I want them to want what I'm going to offer. I don't want to give them options. The moment I give them multiple options, they get confused. But then, yeah, you have the other stuff as a backup if needed. Make sense? Okay, cool. And if you have a specific deal, let me know. Always with these deals, you can take time. Pressure is created by the prospects. You don't have to fold to their pressure. You can get back to them the next day, and you can reach out to me or Michael or Raf, and we can get a more informed answer if you need it. Okay, cool. Hey, Corinne, nice to have you here. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks. And I
Yeah.
love the conversation about the half day, full day. I use it exactly as you've described.
Cool.
And I won't take on an advisory client without first doing a strategy day. Most of the time, it's a full day.
We had a member recently do that, Corinne, where they took on a client in the advisor capacity, and now they're saying, uh-oh, I don't have space to develop a marketing
Right.
strategy.
It's a great foundation for a continuing relationship, whether that's as an engaged model or as an advisor. So when I quote advisory, I say that you have to have had at least 3 months as an engaged client or have done a half day or full day strategy session. So.
Great. Great. Love it. All right. Hey, Lisa. Hey, Jason. Hey, Lisa. Two Lisas and Jesse. Great. Okay, cool. I want to talk about today. So today, this is a mega prompt that we're going to work through. Here's the big idea. This is the thing I'm pushing you all towards. I want you to be the best. I want you to be the best in your industry. No one comes to CMOX and talks to Melissa. We had a lead that came in yesterday. And when the lead talked to Melissa today, Melissa's going to say, hey, I've got some CMOs that might be able to help you. And if she said, I've got some people that are like, they're good, but I've also got the best in the industry. Which one do you want? What are they going to choose? They're going to choose the best. Ben Finkley pitched a deal to a lead that we brought to him. And it was in like the home service space. And he was the most expensive person in cash. Plus, took 3% of growth. It's a massive contract. And the guy said, well, Ben is the most expensive. He's way more expensive than everyone else. And he wants upside, but he seems like the best. So we're going with him. Right? Like, we have clients that want to solve for money. Remember, in your life, you're going to solve for money. Like, what am I going to buy? Am I going to buy the red grapes that are $2 a pound or the green grapes that are $3 a pound? You just buy the cheaper one. That's how we live, right? We make those decisions differently. But in business, we solve for time. We solve for speed. Like it's a now thing. It's like if they don't move quickly right now, they're going to lose Q1 and they're probably going to lose Q2. And that means they're going to have a bad year. So we want to be in a position to be the best so that clients want us and our cost is less important. We want cost to be like a, I don't know, I think Cunningham, the guy who wrote The Road Less Stupid, he would call it like an idiot tax. Like the client expects to pay an idiot tax because they drag their feet. And now push comes to shove, they need an expert and they're going to pull in the best and they're going to pay that idiot tax because they were the idiot. So now they have to pay for the premium price person. That's where you want to be. You want to be the best. So how do you get to be the best in an industry that you don't know? Or an industry that you know a little bit, but you haven't taken it seriously enough. So we've got this big AI thing to do. And really, it's a series of prompts. And the outcome of this is to be force-fed on a regular basis all of this information for you. I'll drop this in the chat for you. This industry intelligence playbook is something that I wrote that's helped me dramatically understand my industry. What this is it's a first, it's a priming prompt, and I'll walk you through this and help you answer all the questions. And then we're going to copy and paste that into your AI of choice. And then we're going to do deep research on these individual additional prompts. The outcome is going to be a corpus of understanding of your market and people. And then we've got to find a way for you to consume this content. If you're like a heavy user of these tools, something like Google Notebook LM is really fun. At the end, I can show you how to put that in there and run the podcast feature so you can listen and have people kind of tell you the content. We can also do scheduled updates from your AI of choice to do this stuff too. But the idea here is we want you to become an expert on the in-person and digital events that are happening in your industry, on the industry publications. When I was helping this company, First National Realty Partners, we had like a shopping center newspaper. What was it called? It was like a there's like a shopping center like trade magazine that came out. And it was what everyone was reading. And it was like the most nerdy stuff in the world. And it talked about sales of different things happening across the United States and who the buyers were, who was selling, what the purchase price was, when Dick's Sporting Goods is now moving into this new state, like that kind of stuff, super nerdy stuff. But if you're abreast to that and you're in the grocery anchored commercial real estate space, it made a lot of sense to consume that data. So all of our like our chief investment officer was reading that. So as I started thumbing through those periodicals, I would understand the market better. There's also industry data and analyst reports. There's folks that are on podcasts. Maybe you could get on a podcast. What if you could get on a podcast, Karen, and talk about direct-to-consumer subscription services? And there's like a podcast for it. This would help you identify that. Private equity activity. You know, where do I want to be right now? I want to work with business owners that want to sell. That's the game I'm in. The reason is because if I work with people that want to sell, I can make a lot of money when they make even more money. Like if someone's going to go make $30 million, could I make $1 million alongside them? The answer is yes. So private equity activity, I want to see where that is. That's fun. Who are the decision makers in private equity? Why don't you go rub shoulders with them? Why don't you get to know these people? Why don't you share intel with them? Why don't you offer to review deal flow for them for free just to be in their life? Because these people are buying your potential clients. Private equity and industry leader social media presence, super helpful. Are there associations or membership orgs? And this is interesting. So like, you know, my kids need to be taking swim classes. So we're considering like, how do we do that? Do we join a swim club or do we join a country club? And like a country club is a membership organization and there's different levels of them. We actually live in between the oldest and second oldest country clubs in the United States because we're in Philadelphia. And they're very different and there's a different feel and vibe to it and there's a different cost to it. But that membership organization means that I would be around people that could afford that. And that's interesting. You know, are there membership organizations in your industry that you should be a part of? Could you get a corner in the monthly or quarterly newsletter to provide a marketing update? And you would do it for free in order to get your name out there. Are there industry influencers and thought leaders? Marketing agencies? Sometimes you see marketing agencies as being competitive to who we are, but to me, they're additive. If a marketing agency is working in an industry and you want to be in that industry, go meet with them. Show them that you're not competitive to them and offer to be the inside woman, the inside man for them that gets in the client, finds all the problems, and brings them to the agency to solve. Agencies make more money, they do less marketing strategy, and then you get paid as the CMO. There's also industry jargon and frameworks. If you say the wrong thing, you sound like an idiot. So you want to make sure that you're saying the right things. Raf brought this up yesterday on the training. Like in franchise, we talk about item 19. If you know what item 19 is, you're an inside person. If you don't know, you don't know. Some of you know what MAU and DAU are, monthly active users and daily active users. Maybe that's not relevant for you. I'm sure, Jesse, you've got some weird language that you use for RFPs for municipalities, right? And if you got it wrong, you would sound like a complete outsider. Maybe there's awards and recognition. These are fun just to kind of keep your eye on. And then talent movement and sponsorship opportunities. And then finally, community and networking hubs. I love a good Slack or Discord group that exists, or LinkedIn groups, or private masterminds. These exist in all different industries. I've got a friend, he runs a mastermind for e-commerce business owners. Like all of his clients are e-commerce business owners. if you want to be in the e-commerce space, like how do you go there and provide value and go clean up a bunch of business? At the end of this, we do this penultimate report, which is to visualize all of this data as a case file, like an FBI case file. And then in the final report, I'm asking for it Monday through Friday to give you updates on things that you should know about. This is an often overlooked component of like ChatGPT, which is we could call it cron or scheduled tasks. We can schedule ChatGPT to give us updates. We could say, "Hey ChatGPT, every morning at 8 a.m., send me this reminder, or do this research for me," and they will, and it will for you. So we can do that and have it look at what events are happening this week. Maybe you want it daily. Maybe you want a summary once a week. Maybe you want a summary on Sunday mornings. Whatever is right for you, you know, you get to edit this. So this is what we're going to do. I want to start at the top and work our way down. Any core questions before we get started?
I have one, Casey. You keep saying AI of choice, and I look at this and I'm like, are we sure this isn't Perplexity for research versus Claude versus, can you like why AI of choice works as I log into Perplexity?
I don't have the data to suggest that one is significantly better than the other because what we're pulling together here doesn't have a level of depth. Do you know what I mean? It's not like they're digging through, like
Yeah, they're
Perplexity is
not
the research tool.
reports. Yeah. Okay.
And maybe you say like, okay, some of the stuff I want to send to Perplexity. But listen, I'm lazy and I'm looking for like one or two good insights a month.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't need more than that. You give me one insight. Here's one insight I've been living on in the franchise space that they compile their total sales. So if you go by the old McDonald's signs, like when we were kids, it says like over a billion served. That McDonald's in your hometown didn't sell a billion burgers. Like I saw that and I was like, oh, like that's my nugget this month. I can keep reusing that as an idea of like how do we build authority in a franchise with a new location? Well, we just like amass all of the 5-star Google reviews and we say over 700 5-star Google reviews to a location that's never opened before. It's like those little things are what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a level of it doesn't have to be the ultimate everything. I'm looking just for something to be useful with. And if you miss an event, you miss an event, but like you still knew about all the other events. That's my big thought. Do you want to use Perplexity?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Cool. Great. And then at the end, what are you going to do? How are you going to consume it at the end? Are you going to put it in notebook or are you going to put it somewhere else?
A Notion. So we have a team Notion, and I would probably shove it in there so my techs have access to it too.
Yeah. What I want is I want a soundbite.
Okay.
Like I want something short and consumable right now. I
Okay.
want to open up the New York Times and read the top three headlines and close it. You know, like that's really actionable for me. I feel like I can stay kind of abreast of the news by doing that. So what is your version of that?
Okay.
So I think you want to get your AI of choice to schedule an
Yeah.
update to you at some basis, daily, weekly, twice a week, whatever. And it just reviews those top things for you.
Okay.
Yeah. But events don't change. You know, events in the franchise space have happened every year. And the big thing is they're moving from Philly to Chicago for one big event. But like otherwise, it's the same event, same name, same sponsor, same everything. So it's kind of slow to change.
But so what you're saying, right, is we build this big playbook based on the prompt you walked us through. Maybe we save that somewhere and then use the scheduling feature to just digest me the hot updates on a
Yep, and to
weekly or
keep
whatever.
searching. And
Okay.
that's why I like Notebook LM because we can provide it with the data and the prompt and have it kind of research. And do you know the podcast feature on Notebook?
No, I'm not a big notebook
Oh,
user.
okay. Yeah, I know. Notebook's kind of goofy. So I'll pull it up and show it to you. Anyone have any other questions around the general idea? I want you all just to get started right now as we're going to goof off a bit. I want you just to fill this all out here. So, I mean, start by reading the priming prompt. That's where I want you to be. So, you know, file, make a copy, read the priming prompt just so you understand what we're asking it to do, and then fill this in. Where do you live and what's your zip code? That's going to be used to give you drive time to the next events, like the upcoming events. I want to know that an event is 30 minutes away or if it's 3 hours away. 30 minutes, I'm going. 3 hours, I don't know. I got to make a plan. And then fill these out. And then be verbose on your examples. Oops. And if you want to see, I did my own on this. What the? One second. Here we go. So here's mine. And, I just wrote things out. So ideal clients that I want to work with are things like, here's how I wrote it. The industry my ideal client is in is franchisors with 10 to 50 locations, all types of franchise systems, but especially home services, fitness studios, and training like, sorry. And this includes both direct-to-consumer side and fran dev. So I'm being verbose and telling exactly what I want. And then the keywords, franchise, franchisor, franchise sales organization, franchise, franchising, franchise development, ideal number of employees. I put a note here. It's like not many, 3 to 20. Typically, franchisor teams are small, but they may be incubated by their first successful location. This is an idiosyncrasy in the market. So if I'm going to be a franchisor, first I have a concept, I built it, it's successful. Let's say I make 5 million a year on it. Like that's my revenue. Then I go and start my franchise system. That franchise system might look like I make 5 million a year, but really I make zero. So I'm giving that nuance here because I think that's important. I say that they're not profitable if they're under 30 locations. If they are profitable, it's probably under 2 million. And then examples are like clients that I've worked with in the past. And one is like a Select Dental. And I said, they're not a franchise, but they're franchise-esque. They purchased and did a PE roll-up of dental practices. So as much detail as I can provide, I did in that priming prompt. When you have this all complete, let me know. And you're just going to copy all of this out. Yeah. Any questions on that right now?
Welcome to the
Jesse, I've got the I'll wait a minute. Go ahead and punch away for a few minutes and then tell me when you're ready and I'll show you this podcast feature. It's goofy and very cool.
Cool. Give me like 2 minutes.
Yeah. And if you don't like my questions, write better questions for yourself. Karen, do you feel clear on what you're doing? Is your niche clear enough?
I'm using this to help me define it a little bit more, I
Okay,
think.
yeah.
All right, Casey, I'm ready to nerd out.
Okay. Yeah, Karen, I just want you to get it right though. Like ask me questions if you feel like I don't know, what should it be? And it's gonna feel comfortable because you're gonna kill off opportunities in your life. But I want you to remember that we're talking about prospecting. Like, nothing is precluding you from taking on deals that come to you.
Right.
But you can't speak with authority to everyone all the time. So if you're going to speak with
Right.
authority to an industry, what is it?
So maybe I'm like not thinking about verticals and industries in the right way, right? But so help me like define the things. But in my mind, based on the experience, if I were to go into what I feel like I can show up very clearly and say, I'm an expert here, and maybe I'll refine later, is
Shift
around
it into a 24,
consumer
perhaps.
businesses that need more engagement, that need higher LTV.
Okay, I'm in a meeting.
Sorry, Sharon, I'll be you.
Thanks. So consumer subscription, like highly engaging. So all the ones are like their habit-based engagement subscriptions is where I've tended to be, right?
Right.
So
Say
they're a
what
little
is
bit different.
habit based. I like it.
Habit. Yeah. So it's different. It's more like there's family ones, there's habit-based, and habit-based can be exercise, wellness. Again, I was in family history, I was in memories, like all of those things. I've been trying to circle around like what makes it different.
Habit. I like it. I don't think anyone self-identifies.
No, I don't either.
So that's
That's
kind of
why
an
I was like, I've
issue.
been thinking about the word. So I don't know how to describe it. I've been having a hard time describing what it is because it's different than like the Life Seasons that I was just talking to. They sell supplements and then they'll have subscriptions, which is just a billing model. And that's, I can help with that too. I just think there's a deeper level of certain types of experiences where subscriptions, usually it's some kind of software, is more of like the idea is that you are engaging with the software or the product ongoing.
I like it.
More like exercise, health, again, family history is in that space. I'm just trying to think of other companies in that space that I would identify. Is that making sense? Because otherwise, I'm like, what industry is that? I don't exactly know.
Karen, you sound like you know more than you did 24 hours ago. So well done.
That's true.
Thanks, Jesse. I know I've definitely been thinking about it overnight because that's the difference in the companies I've always come in, even with chatbooks. I was like, you're not a subscription for a billing model. And I can help with that. It is an ongoing, you're trying to form habits. So again, it's not something to your point, like if I were like, I'm an expert in habit building, people would be like, what? So, but there's lots of companies in that space.
Yeah.
So what do you say for industry? Is industry
I would just describe that. I would describe the companies and let the AI help you here.
okay.
I think there's a headline for you that, like, I help companies, I help transformational companies that have recurring billing models.
Right.
But, like, call, no one started a health subscription program that doesn't care about people's health. So I think you tagging into that is meaningful. Make them feel like you're one of the insiders. Karen, I was on a call with this guy from a dental company years ago, and he was like kind of interviewing me to see if he wanted to work with me. And he goes, why dental? Why does that matter? And I was like, well, all health starts with dental health. Like if you have poor dental health, like your whole body gets unhealthy. And he's like, you get it. He's like, you're one of us. And I was like, yeah, I guess I am, like I brush my teeth twice a day and floss. But that was like meaningful for him. And I think that that's important. People of a level of success, when it's a buyer's market, they can hire any CMO they want. Why you? It's because you have an experience in it, but also you have a belief in it. You have a kind of a commitment to it.
Right.
And maybe you've never considered it, but maybe putting together like a personal declaration around your life's mission is helpful around this. Like, if I'm going to help people, I'm going to help people that are doing good in the world, specifically in the health space. And I know that helping people over the course of time is more important than a single transaction. So that's why I'm specializing in this recurring revenue model. It helps the company, but it also helps the customer.
Right.
And that's a cool mission.
Resonate. Right.
And I just think that that woman charges more and she's more effective.
And again, in the industry, I was like, even industry, I'm like, is that deep? I mean, because you could be in consumer subscription, D2C, consumer services.
Yeah, but I'd say in the consumer space, I
Right.
would say at a B2B, because it's just a different monster.
Right.
Yeah.
I am signing
I
up
mean,
for holidays and things like that, which I don't really want to do, but here we are.
you're doing what?
I said it makes me consumer means I'm like having crazy holidays, which I've always had my whole
Oh,
career.
yeah, right. Right. But like also,
But
you can build a team that can have a crazy time and you cannot spend as much time on
yeah.
it. And you can
Yeah,
have a lot
that's
of free
true.
time outside of the holidays too.
That's right.
And holidays don't align with your kids' school breaks always. I don't know. I mean, there's some usefulness here. I just will never again work Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or Thanksgiving or the day after Thanksgiving. You know what I mean?
Right. Well,
So
and I
thinking
even
of.
got my teams where that was like the major thing to have it so pre-booked to where you shouldn't really have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I like where you're going with this though. And again, last thing here is the feeling, the overall feeling. If I'm a business owner and I talk to you, I'm going to go to my co-founder or to my spouse and be like, oh my God, I found her. So how do you create that magic moment of them feeling like you're the perfect person? One of the things that I wrote about in Find Your CMO was like the DNA of the business. So part of the DNA is like long sales cycle, short sales cycle.
Right.
How big is the transaction? Small, medium, or large? Is it a $10,000 transaction? Is it a $10 transaction? How big is your total addressable market? Is it massive? Is it minor? So those are places that you can kind of find like your own corner. All right, Jesse, you want to play? So this goofy thing on. Here it is. Let's see if this works for me. All right. So I loaded a bunch of stuff in here. This is just kind of some minor stuff, but I loaded in. So I did a prompt. Here's the output of that prompt from ChatGPT. I think I did here. So I just pasted it all in here and I made that one of the sources. So inside of Let me zoom out. Inside of Notebook LM, the idea is it's a notebook. Think of this as a physical notebook on your desk. It really only consumes content that's inside that notebook. So I find Notebook to be really helpful if I want to like review documents that the client shared. I'm querying exclusively those documents. So the utility of Notebook for me is that I'm doing a workout and this guy, Dan John, put it together and he's got this book on it and people revere it. But man, I got to say, it is the hardest thing for me to follow. I don't know what to do next. Like, what's the next workout? So I uploaded the book to
Yeah.
Notebook, and I just say, here's what I did last workout. What do I do for the next one? And it tells me what to do based on the book's content, not on external content. So super useful. So you add all your sources, and then on here, you go to Studio, and then you can do podcast. It says it's still working it. The podcast becomes two hosts having a podcast on the content, and then you're a caller and you get to interrupt them and ask them a question.
A deep dive. Our mission,
Do
as
you
always,
hear
is
it?
to take that stack of sources you've given us, could be dense reports, could be transcripts from
Oh
huge
my
events,
gosh.
and basically give you the fastest route to getting smart on the
So she's
topic. You have a
talking,
shortcut through the noise. Exactly.
and I hit interactive. And let's see if I can do it. It takes a minute to like recreate it, and then when they're older, they don't work all that well. But if I hit play, join.
Oh wait, someone wants to join. Hey, go for it.
Hey, thanks. Thank you. My question is around just like upcoming events in Philadelphia, based on today's date of February 11th.
That is a fantastic, highly practical question.
Okay, let's unpack this for you.
Given today's date, February 11th, and your focus on Philadelphia, we can give you a really tailored list based on the
Just
sources.
imagine going
Yeah,
for a
that's one of
walk,
the great thing
Jesse,
about diving
and like
into these
having these people
topics.
talk
Right
to
now,
you.
we're still in the early part of the
Yeah.
evening. So the biggest event near you is, oh, yeah,
Okay, sorry. Just give me like review the sources and like what are the three big headlines that I should be considering for this week in the franchise space?
Oh, that's a brilliant pivot.
That is a fascinating request, especially since we're sitting here on February 11th.
You want to know what you should be focused on right now, not just later in the
So it's
year?
just
Absolutely.
talking
The
while it's doing
sources
its
we're reviewing
research,
primarily cover
you know?
major industry events and ongoing publications.
So we aren't seeing daily news, but we can look for what the
But you get the idea.
Yeah, I get the idea. I think the thing that I'm trying to figure out with this, I love this. I'm obsessed. I'm going to go play with it, is we get some sort of output, right? You had your ChatGPT output, you put it in there again because you're querying only the internal kind of project knowledge to use Claude language. For the things like the question you just asked, what updates are coming up? Are you constantly pumping those updates, like zapping
So
them into your notebook?
I've got one of the things that you can do with sources here is that I can add new sources, and one source that I could add is just uploading a file or
Okay.
pasting text, like notable text. That's good.
Right.
Another one is I can add a website, and that website can query a calendar. So if you found a calendar of upcoming events, presumably that calendar gets updated.
So it's a source that is used by the notebook, though it's external. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah. And again, like this is cool. Like it certainly is cool. Is it useful for you? Will you go on a walk and have this conversation? I won't work out and do it. That no. So I'd have to go for a walk and do it. I would rather maybe just do a ChatGPT prompt to hit me twice a week with an update. And maybe one of those I don't have time for and the other one I do. You know, and keep going without fail and not cost me a dollar. As long as you're spending $20 a month on the ChatGPT plan.
Already am. Okay. No, that's, I walk a lot of dogs, so I like podcasty things. Cool. Thanks.
You have some cute dogs. When you punch in the content, if you're unfamiliar with this idea of deep research, I did one today. So here's what I did inside of Claude. And these days I'm liking Claude. You don't have to like Claude. You can like anything you want. They're all very similar, I think. I mean, they're all better than nothing, that's for sure. And maybe some of the models are better than others. You know, Sonnet 4.5 versus Opus versus whatever, right? Like, Opus 4.6 is the smartest model, I think, right now. I don't know. I mean, that changes every day. So I gave it my priming prompt. I just pasted it in. And at the end, it says, before we get started, are you clear? What questions do you have for me? And it says, you know, I'm clear. Here are my questions. I answered the questions. And then it says, great. Now I'll do this stuff. And then I gave it the first prompt. But this is really critical. I clicked the plus and I typed and I hit the research here. Research is required. Research uses more brain power. So much so that it took 15 minutes and 16 seconds and reviewed 694 sources to compile the answer to the first thing. I don't know about you guys, but there is no way I'm looking at 694 sources ever in my life to answer one problem. I'm going to look at three sources and I'm going to call it good. So if we look at it, this is the document that was created as a result. What are the events happening from Feb to December? Comprehensive. It's like, where are they? So this is a broker network and an FSO. That's a franchise sales organization. That's great. It's in Hollywood, Florida, at the Diplomat. I can see who's going to be there, who's going to be speaking. I mean, incredibly valuable, and it is long. And that's showing me here, small business expos. Ooh, Greater Philadelphia. That's in Oaks. That's not far from me. That's at the end of March. Valuable. Maybe I go. Maybe there's this one at Javits that I should go to in New York. I suggested that I would drive as far north as New York and as far south as DC and as far west as Pittsburgh. Everything else is a flight for me. So it's providing just a ton of quality information for me. Again, if you're unfamiliar with deep research, you must click the research. In ChatGPT, there's a similar thing, which is right here, and it is deep research. That's the goal. You can maybe run some of these concurrently. You can run like three, you know, if you build a project in Claude and put up all of your prompt stuff and then run one prompt at a time in that project. You can concurrently run these prompts so it can happen faster for you. If you're going to use Claude, I would encourage you to build a project. The example of my project is here. It's just a simple project. You just click over on projects in Claude, create a new one. I called it Franchisor Industry Intelligence. I uploaded that whole document that you have filled out, and then I gave it that first question. So while this one was running, I could have come in here and prompted a second one that would run concurrently and maybe a third one concurrently. Anyone feeling stuck on this or feeling like, I don't know, man, this is too much?
No, I have a question, Casey. Why don't we just upload the whole file with all those prompts all together and let it work as a deep
You
research?
can try it. I think that the context window is too small, and I think it's just going to suffer. That's my take. It's just going to suffer. It's just not going to be as good. It's not going to have the depth. I
Well,
mean, what
it's
do we
kind
have?
of.
How many total prompts in there? There's a ton. Maybe like, let's say there's 10 prompts, and I spent 16 minutes on one. It's 160 minutes. We're really going to 2.5 hours for it to run. What if it fails? I don't know. I'm going to run one.
It's kind of time consuming, right? Like several hours to sit down and.
Yeah, it is a pain. But if you do it concurrently inside of Claude, you can run three of them, come back in a half hour, run three of them, come back in a half hour, run three of them, and then be done. But also, Shavkat, how long would this have taken you if you did it manually?
Three lives.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it. So much of this deep research for me is unlocking something that I never had access to before because I don't have the patience to spend hours doing this research.
What's your take, Casey, on kind of like having a separate project, like just for like this research and intelligence, like it's like kind of like set, like kind of specialized, like master prompt and everything versus kind of like, your overarching kind of practice, having like just like that, like as one prompt within like a larger project, right? That's so I can
Sure.
then call from, like it has like kind of like the extra context it can like reference.
Yeah, maybe it's useful.
Yeah.
Honestly, Jay, the thing that I'm really kind of working on is we've been playing internally with creating a vector database of content and then being able to query that. And
Yeah.
I mean, I've got it. I hired some folks to build it. It just doesn't have the utility that I want it to have. I just don't think we're there yet for people like me. Maybe you're more technical and you can do that. So sure, at some point, maybe that's better to provide that level of context. But I don't know. If I learned anything from playing with Claudebot over the last few weeks, it's that context windows are in surprisingly small, and just reiterating what you want continually is helpful.
Another question, Casey, should we maybe try to create an agent which is specializing in one of these niches or areas and then is going to learn more and more, you know what I mean? And
That's a cool question. I'd love for you to try it if you feel like you can. I think that those activities can feel like progress, but really just look like noodling and you're not getting anywhere. If you feel like it's additive for you and it's worth the time, for sure. I think OpenClaude, Claudebot, that whole thing is very exciting. And I think in the next few months, it'll be something that I'm eager to adopt. Probably once it's deployed from Claude, like Anthropic, where there's better security in place. But I think that's where it's at. I was talking to the CTO team, CTOX team yesterday, and all the CTOs are like focused on that stuff. But Marisa shared that it came at the cost of those CTOs actually getting results. Like everyone's playing with creating these agents to do all the stuff, and they're not doing the work. So, it's the efficiency dilemma. Do I spend more time now to make it more efficient later, or do I just do the kind of annoying part of it now and not have efficiency? And is that okay? I think there's an XKDC on that. Yeah, this is it. I feel like XKDC always gets it, right? I spent a lot of time on this task. I should write a program to automate it. So this is the theory of what you think, but the reality is this. That's how I feel. I'm not that technical, so I find a lot of ongoing blah. And yeah, I can't get the work done. But if you can do it, by all means. Who's actually doing deep research right now on this? Who's got a prompt running? Lisa is great. Lisa is.
I'm
Jesse.
doing, yeah.
Shafkat, are you developing an agent right now? Are you writing the
Oh,
soul.md
just
document for it?
that's the next step now. Now, just a deep research in Gemini.
Okay, great. Gemini, cool. You know, I don't have much experience with Gemini, which is silly because I pay for Google Workspace that forces me to use Gemini.
I like it. Like, I tried many different like AIs. I don't know why, but Gemini gave me the best answers so far.
Great.
Perplexity let me down a couple of times. It gave me completely wrong answers to some straight questions. I don't know.
Yeah, come back to it in a couple models, maybe.
Maybe.
Yep. Yeah, so if you're doing this right, you filled it all out, you pasted a couple prompts into your AI of choice. It's going to run one of them at a time or something concurrently if you use a project. It's going to take a little bit of time for you just to punch these in. It's not like a lot of brain time for you. Just you got to come back and every half hour just add a new prompt in and then put that all somewhere that's usable. I think Notebook LM is the place. But so much of this stuff is like, I don't want to prescribe what to do. I want to tell you how I think it's useful and teach you, and then you use the tools that are in front of you. Some of you are Copilot people. I think you're probably too embarrassed to share. Does anyone like Microsoft?
Would you also use it to create a content for you to share it on social media like
Sure.
LinkedIn?
Yeah, we have another prompt for that that brings in some more spicy stuff around your opinions. Namely, like your unique beliefs in the market. I could give you some examples. I think marketing agencies are the go-to for a lot of businesses, but really the agency just takes a campaign that has worked for somebody else, gives it to you, and over time they're going to charge you top dollar to maintain something that should be managed by a cheap person. That's a spicy belief. It's like it's unique. It's something that I came up with. I'm sure you have a similar belief or something like that. I want my content to be around those things, like my actual belief system. So we use part of this for that content, but it is a different document. The document also has things like tonality and idiosyncrasies of your posts, like length, the use of emojis, that kind of stuff. And then also it provides hooks. Hooks being the thing that captures the person's attention.
That's the content.
Casey, sorry, Shavkat, this was the last beat.
I said this is the content machine we discussed on one of
Yes.
the previous sessions. Okay.
Yep. Jay, what's up?
All right. So Claude kind of asked me a clarifying question, and I'm kind of wondering. So gaming has a so yeah, so I'm doing research on gaming. Says a complex funding ecosystem, publishers, VC, PE firms, yada yada. You want me to go deep on the investment and deal making side, or keep it more focused on the commercial side? So who's buying marketing services, agencies that serve gaming, da da da, and kind of like just on what's your kind of intuitive hit on which side would be kind of more viable or fruitful to kind of dig in.
I'd say by and large, go after the business owner. And then if you want to get on like the buy side of it, that's a later thing. I think someone on the buy, like on the buy side, like the private equity, the deal making, the financial side, they want to see a track record. So I
Got
can
it.
go sell someone who isn't as astute of a business owner to like give me a try because I don't have experience in the market. I can go do that. But if I go into PE, PE only wants the best. They want the proven person. So I'd say go direct
Got
to the
it.
business owner.
Got it.
Yeah, sometimes business owners will hire you because they like you. You
Right.
know, PE doesn't hire you because they like you. PE hires you because you have a track record.
Right.
Great. Any other questions? Lisa O, you just jamming? You got stuff getting spit out from the AIs?
Yeah, a whole bunch. So I'm just playing with it.
Great. Cool. And it's a conversation, right? It's not like just give me this report and I'm done. It's a
Right.
conversation. Do what you want with it. Yeah. And
So,
later on, you could go back to that prompt and just say, run this again, please.
So Casey,
Brandon?
how, so now, how do we get ChatGPT, like I use ChatGPT to send me like an update or like each day, and how do you
Yeah, it's at the very bottom of the document is that
Okay.
prompt, but you just ask it. So what do you want? What's actually useful for you that you would consume?
Yeah, I don't know right now. What do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
I don't have the desire to read about the industry every day. I don't
Yeah.
care. You know, like, do I want a daily email? No. I'll take a weekly though, or maybe twice a week. So
Okay.
if it just came to you at a time, when would it come to you? What's a
Is
good time for you? No,
that
don't do it
for?
on Monday. You're busy on Monday. You know, was it like
Yeah.
Wednesday
I
at
don't know.
lunchtime? Every
Maybe.
week, Wednesday at 11 a.m., send me this update.
Okay.
And
I
tell me the
tried
five
that.
biggest things you
I
should know.
tried that once and it didn't work. I don't know if
Right.
I
Me
like
too.
that's what I think that how like where is am I missing something? I don't know.
I would open up a new window and just ask it, like, hey, I'm trying to schedule something. This is the prompt I want to use to schedule. Will this work or not? And see, the
Okay.
scheduling used to be something that was exclusive to like ChatGPT 4, scheduled tasks. When did it come out? It came out like a year ago today, right? So, yeah, I mean, here's the help file from chat on it. So it used to be its own kind of model, which was like ChatGPT 4 plus schedule tasks. Like you would choose it from the drop down here.
Okay, yep.
You know, it was like there was four Omni scheduled tasks, but then they rolled scheduled tasks in. So
And
now it says, can you create a task that enables, or you can create a task that enables. There you go. That's it.
okay.
So it should be like that.
Okay,
And
I'll give
maybe
it a
set yourself a reminder for tomorrow if you don't get it. You know, the first thing I would say is, here's what I would say if I were you. I want you to develop this daily or weekly brief for me on the things that matter the most in my industry, based on all of these prompts. I want you to do additional research to show me current information. Before we schedule that, send me an update that you think would be that you think is what I'm looking for. And then it says, you know, give me a minute. And then it sends it to you. And you say, okay, that's not it because you're missing these things. Include these types of things. And just have a conversation and say, great. Okay, perfect. Now, without fail, send that to me every day, Wednesday, 11 a.m. my time.
And does that just show up in that project folder, or does it notify you, or
Yeah.
you have to go
So,
look?
three things. One is you get a push notification on your phone that a scheduled task is complete, but it doesn't give you any data on the push notification. So you have to click into that, and that opens up ChatGPT to the conversation, and it shows you the latest. So that's nice. The second one is you also get an email that says your scheduled task is complete. And then the third is that it's just in ChatGPT.
So it only does it in chat, not in Claude.
I don't know if Claude does scheduled tasks.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, like a cron. No, you're effectively doing like a prompt-based cron. It's like every, you know, at this time, put this thing that happens and it just like kind of cycles and happens all the time. So Claude might not be able to do it. I mean, you could do it with Claude Code. You want to play with Claude Code for a minute? Have you ever?
Yep.
Claude Code is fun. Lisa, do you know it?
Oh, I haven't, no.
I'll show it to you. Do you see this window, black window?
Yep.
So I'm just going to go to my D drive and I'm going to change the directory to projects. And then I'm going to make a directory called Lisa Test. And I'm going to CD into that directory. And maybe for you, that was way crazier. But I just like built a folder called Lisa Test. And now I'm inside that folder.
What a trip.
I mean, that's that like might be too much for you. I get it, but once you get past that, check this out. Claude. So now it says, cool, I'm accessing the workspace. Can I trust this folder? I say, yep. Now I'm in like kind of a chat prompt. What do you want to do? So I will open up just so you can see alongside all of this stuff in my drive. Where is it? Lisa test. Here you go. So here's the folder,
Oh,
and there's nothing in it.
that's wild.
Right, so that's just the folder that we built. And now we can ask it to do anything we want. I want to create a recurring AI or like newsletter of sorts that tells me about the latest events happening in the franchise space. Can you review a prompt I asked Claude already? Let's see. I don't know the answer. Great. So it says it can. So now I'm going to click this and I'm going to click this and say that. Let's see if it has access. I can't access the URL. Those conversations are private. Okay. So this is a massive document. I don't know if it's going to like this. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put this here in a new file. I'm going to call this franchise events.txt. And I'm just going to paste everything in here and close it. So now I have that file, franchise events. So I'll come back and say, okay, it's in franchise events.txt.
Oh my goodness.
It's weird because this what's different here is that it has access to my file system. So now it's reviewing this file for me.
And you gave it access.
I gave it access. Yep, the first prompt was I got into the folder called Lisa Test. I started Claude, and then it says, can I have access? And I hit the yes button.
And that gave you access to all the folders.
Just the folder in of Lisa Test. What do you mean? This whole window? It's like my terminal window. I don't know. That might be a little technical, but okay. I've read the file. This looks like output response from Claude rather than the prompt you use to generate it. Oh, okay. I did that wrong. So let's just do it again, and we're going to say franchise events prompt. And like it told me it didn't like that. And here's my initial prompt. And I'll go to here. So now if I'm in this file and I paste all that prompt in with our back and forth and I give that to it, franchise events prompt.txt. I don't know what that's about. Thank you. Here we go. Great. Now I can see the full picture. So it says this, like, because it's, my prompt, and then it's Claude's response, and then my prompt. I want to say, like, please consolidate the prompt into one clean prompt. This is a big deal, Lisa. So it's going to ask me for some permission, but it's going to fundamentally edit my file. It's going to go edit this text file, which is interesting, right? Like, you don't do that with ChatGPT. ChatGPT prints out an output on a page. This is editing a file. And while it's maybe a little slow, it's still faster than me doing it. Great. Allow all the edits during this session. And now it rewrote it, new file called clean. So if we open this one up, and I'll turn on Word Wrap so it looks better. Well, I don't know how to turn on Word Wrap. There. About me, my ideal client. Boom.
Oh
Boom.
wow.
Nice and clean. Great. Now schedule a cron to run daily at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time to give me a summary of events in the next 30 days. And it'll set it up for me. I don't know how it would do a cron. Maybe it's gonna have to like ask me to develop some soft like get some stuff built out for it. That's why ChatGPT is easier, because you could just ask it. It's like ChatGPT is kind of done for you. Claude is you can do anything you want, but you have to configure some stuff. So what do I want? Do I want an email of this? If I do, I have to configure a way for it to send me an email. Do I want a text file that's added to my computer? That sounds great. Do I want a desktop notification or something else? Take a text file. And then, I can ask it to do other stuff. So we can call the API, cost a few cents per day, or parse the file. I don't want to parse the file. I want to actually call the API and kind of requery it every day. Maybe, or once a week is probably better. Am I losing you on this? Do you kind of get the big idea?
I get it. It's a lot, but I get it.
Yeah, it's technical, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Jay,
cool.
how are you playing with this?
Claude Code actually has so if you download the desktop app for Claude, it has like a GUI. It has like a graphical interface, so it's like the web, so it's much easier. So you don't have to play with like terminal commands and all that, because that's kind of like, it's not beyond me, but it's I would rather not if given the option. So I usually just use that.
I feel cooler doing it though. Like I turn the lights
That is
down,
true.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Last night I built a little piece of software, and it's dorky and it's custom for me, and no one else would probably have use out of it. But for me, like I had a problem and I wanted to solve it, and I was able to solve it. I mean, Lisa, like I have an idea. Do you have like 5 more minutes, Lisa? Do you want to stick around and play? Yeah. Just to show you what's possible. So let me just like rip on an idea real quick. Would you drop in two addresses for me? You don't have to give me your home address, but like the idea is let's measure your commute from a place to another place and tell me what those two addresses are. If you give me those, I'm going to put together a little app for us.
So you need two addresses? Okay.
Yep. And then let's just do this in real time and just like have some fun. So this is just an idea that I have, which is, so first I'm going to just change to address time. Okay, CD address time. Great. So now I'm in this folder and I'm going to open up Claude. And then Claude's going to say, do I trust it? And I say, yes. So now I'm in this folder. And instead of it being called this one Lisa Test, this one's called address time. Great. So now as I sit in here, I'm going to say, I want to have a simple app that's on my Windows computer that shows me real-time updates of the driving time between two locations. This is for me to track how long it will take to leave point A and arrive at point B. How can we do this without any APIs? Let's just see. I don't know. It's an idea. Like, would this be interesting if it's like the time to drive to your daughter's school for pickup and it was just like a window in the bottom corner of your computer? I don't know. Maybe there's no utility for anybody else, but for you, that's interesting. So we build a small Python app that uses Selenium, scrapes the current drive time, displays it as a simple Tinker Tkinter window that auto refreshes every few minutes. Great. Why Selenium? Yeah, awesome. Cool. Cool. Let's do it. Fixed locations. Yes. Are these your answers? Yep. So now it's going to do its thing. And it's going to start building. And when I say it starts building, this is the folder. We'll see. It's going to probably start building a file in this folder for me. So this is like the era, Lisa, of bespoke software. If you want something just for you, pull me all this data in from my client and pull this other data in and put it on a dashboard for me. Like you have it, and that's for you, and that's useful. All right, so auto accept edits. It's fine for now. So Claude has a whole plan ready. Great, accept edits, and let's rip it. Let me build the app now. First, it built a requirements text file. We could look at it and see what's inside. So just two pieces of software. I mean, all in, we're a minute into it, and it's already building files out for us. And I think a million tokens is a dollar. So if you think about how much this is costing me, maybe it's cost me a penny so far. Right, now it has a Python file that it wrote for me. And it's between two destinations in New York and DC. Okay. So replace them with what I actually want and then run it. So if I run it, double click that. Nope, that's not right. How do I run it? I think I have to right click it and open with. Okay, so I'm just gonna do this real quick, CMD, and follow its instructions and say CDD a D colon CD projects CD pip install our requirements dot text. Just following its exact request. So this is it downloading that Selenium stuff into that folder, probably. I don't know where it installed it. And then the last thing is we run the Python drivetime.py command, and maybe it's done, Lisa. Your speaker stopped working. Okay. All right, so now this is done. So now I can say Python drive underscore time dot py. That's going to launch the program. And here's our drive time monitor that you can have on your computer right here to always know how long it's going to take you to get to your daughter's school for pickup. I don't know. That's pretty sick to me. I find that very exciting. It's not working. It's fetching it. So maybe it is running, says loading. Oh, there it is. Boom. Look, we created custom software that runs only on your computer, but now you have it. And this could just exist just like that. And everything was written for us here. If I sent this out to a developer, how many lines of code were written? Way more than I could write. 229 lines of code completely done for me. And then if I just change these addresses, it will change this accordingly. I don't know. There's something about that. So that's how I see the utility of Claude. We did another thing recently where we put photos of cats, just randomly downloaded photos of cats in a folder, and it had Claude review them and relabel the photo based on the breed of the cat. So that's computer vision. Like it's seeing it and understanding what kind of cat it is. That's interesting. You could take photos of your family. Maybe you have like a ton of photos that you got from the library and say, here's five photos of my uncle. Find all the photos that have his face in it. These things are possible without software. We just ask it to do it. So I don't know. Does as I share this idea with y'all and kind of like how to play with it, does anything come up for you? Is this interesting? Is this useful? Is this just like nerding out?
I've accidentally gone so far into my hub building that I wasn't paying
Cool,
any
great.
attention. But
That's
it's
where you should
fine.
be.
Yeah, I
Lisa.
love it. I love it. It's just also helping me see what I don't know yet.
Yeah, I think the way that you need to look at it, if you're not a technical person, if you're not interested in nerding out on this stuff, and like I'm doing stuff that like you feel like you can't do, and maybe you can't because like I've been spending time with this stuff and playing with it, and you know I have like a interest in it. I want you to know that it's possible to generate these things fast, though. Like I can get an
Right.
MVP done fast, fast. Now, how do I get like a final product done that's good for everybody else? I don't know. Like that's another problem. But how many of the things do we do for our clients that are like, actually, I could take the cheap approach right now, especially if I could get it coded myself. You know, that's exciting. I've had I used to hire a developer I got on Reddit who would make me a Selenium web scraper for pulling lists together. That's before Apollo. Now I would never have to hire him again. I could just ask Claude to do it for me, and it would do the same exact work, and it would do it on my time instead of like chasing a guy around in Bulgaria. That's pretty cool. All right. If you have any questions about this stuff, I'd be happy to chat about it. I think it's a deviation from the work, but I think it's important to know what's possible.
Totally.
Cool. Well, great to see you guys. I'll catch you guys in the next one. See you later.
Hey, thanks, Casey.